The Caretakers by Adrian Chamberlain. Emma Robertson ran down the stairs, nimbly avoiding the fire extinguishers that lay on the floor of the first landing, knocked from the wall mountings by Rob's drunken exit, she assumed. She pushed open the door onto the graveled path that bisected the court. She headed for the archway by the Porter's Lodge, leading to Trinity Street and away from All Souls College. Her trainers kicked up small flurries of snow, but almost slipped on the harder, frozen layer beneath. She grunted, forcing herself to slow down. The sunlight was stronger now, the reflected glare from the snow of the court making her eyes hurt. She stared at the ornamental fountain and the gaping hole in the lawns next to it. Chunks of earth were covered by tarpaulin that, in turn, was covered by fresh snow. Barriers marked out with hazard warning tape surrounded the grave that awaited the culmination of the Founder's Feast tomorrow night, which was unnecessary, seeing as no one but fellows were allowed to walk on the lawns. And who'd want to get close to an open grave anyway? She thought with a shudder. The cold air was agony to her aching head, but it was at least clearing the alcohol fog. She folded her arms over her breasts and trudged cautiously to the lodge. She heard the gentle hum of early morning traffic and bicycles clattering down Trinity Street, filtering through the archway. The old court itself was completely silent, and there were no signs of life from the lodge, either. She tried the door, frowning when she found it locked. She was alone. That wasn't too worrying. At least she wouldn't have to face John Franklin. She shuddered again, and this time it wasn't down to the cold. God, that man gave her the creeps. If Jason Franklin really was insane, it was no surprise when you considered who he had for a father. She would never forget the sight of the head porter repeatedly slamming the head of Jason to the low wall of the fountain. His own son, for God's sake! An expression on his face that could not be mistaken for anything other than pure enjoyment. That wasn't reasonable force used to overpower an arsonist. It was nothing less than pure hatred. And like everyone else associated with the College of All Souls, she had wondered why it was so intense. But no answers were forthcoming. She'd heard rumors, but that was all they were, rumors. It was something Rob had asked about last night when he brought the first round of drinks, and she could only... She blinked. She'd seen something out of the corner of her eye. A brief movement outside the tiny chapel, something red and green. The doors opened. A woman's head peered out, and then sharply withdrew as her eyes met Emma's. Stacy! She let out a strangled cry. There was no mistake. The red hair, as wild and unkempt as her own, was a sodden mass that flicked droplets of seawater on the dark oak doors before disappearing into the stone confines of the chapel. Emma could smell the salt tang of the ocean waves that had killed her sister. The aroma of putrefying flesh and intestinal gases as the body was dragged from the harbor 2 years ago now filled the cold, silent court. Her head swam with the memory and she felt the frozen ground beneath her feet tilt violently. She sank to her knees and vomited. She stared at the vomit steaming on the fresh snow for a long time. Anything rather than look to the chapel entrance. I have to know. She climbed to her feet and looked around her. The court was still devoid of human life. But what about the chapel? Human life in there? It couldn't be. Stacy Robertson was dead. Whatever had disappeared into the chapel, it was not her sister. Someone was playing a sick joke, just like the voices I heard earlier. The voice of Stacy on my mobile. That's no joke, Em. She had to know. She had to find out. Stepping over the rapidly cooling vomit onto the grass of the lawns, she made her way to the chapel. The doors weren't closed, but they had been pulled to. She put a shaking hand on the knob and pulled it towards her. The droplets of seawater had run down the timber, forming small, shining crystals of salt. The door swung open on rusty hinges. She stepped in and her glasses steamed up. She took them off and wiped the lenses on her jeans. The musty smell of old, damp stone filled her nostrils. She couldn't detect any aroma of seawater now. Sunlight coming through the open door provided the only illumination, not enough to completely banish the darkness. She replaced her glasses but could only just make out the pews and the altar. The carved image of Christ loomed over the silver eagle on the lectern, his agonized expression hidden by the shadows. She shivered. That sculpture gave her the creeps. The building was tiny, an apology for a chapel. It had none of the grandeur or ornate decoration that the other Cambridge College chapels boasted. The fellows didn't even have a chaplain amongst its numbers. But it had something unique. A wooden carved representation of the Passion that was unlike any other she had seen. Christ's legs were folded at the waist, the knees pointed to the left. A wickedly blunt nail entered the right ankle and came out of the left behind it, pinning both to the wood. Two more nails shattered the wrists, not the palms. The fingers clenched inwards like claws, the fingernails penetrating the palms and drawing fresh blood. His head was slumped on his right shoulder, the crown of thorns penetrating the skin. She walked slowly towards the altar, her mouth dry. The snow on her trainers melted, soaking into the faded, threadbare carpet that led between the cracked and chipped pews. The winter sun rose higher, and Christ's face was reclaimed from the darkness. The expression wasn't one of beatific sacrifice. It was an all-too-human representation of physical agony. The flesh-colored paint was unnervingly close to the real hue of tortured human skin, right down to the mottled blue and purple patches of the bruising meted out during the buffeting. His piercing blue eyes were wide and staring, the shining pupils dilated. The mouth was open in a silent scream, the thin lips curled and the yellowed teeth broken. The fresh blood trickling from the nail and flagellation wounds was a vivid scarlet in the glare of the December sun. She heard the sound of dripping water. She frowned and cocked her head. There it was again, a steady drip, drip, drip of liquid falling on stone. She thought of the seawater falling from Stacy's red hair and put her hands to her mouth. This wasn't seawater. The coppery aroma was unmistakably that of blood. Blood dripping from physical wounds and falling through the stone flags. Emma let out a strangled cry as she saw the source. Around the nails pinning Christ's wrists to the cross, something glistened and squirmed, fresh blood running from the gaping wounds to the ends of the trembling fingers before falling to the floor. The head of Christ then raised itself from the shoulder. Thorns from his crown were pulled free from the taut muscles in the arm with a wet, sucking sound. The emaciated chest rose and fell, shuddering breaths taken and exhaled, breath that misted in the cold air of the chapel. The head turned to face the intruder. Emma was frozen solid, immobile, under the gaze of the figure that was no longer made of painted, carved wood. The terrifying expression fixed her to the floor as surely as the nails held the flesh of Christ to the cross. His eyes had changed. The piercing blue irises were now scarlet, blood-red irises that encircled the rapidly shrinking pupils, constricting them as though squeezing them out of existence. The lips moved slightly. More mist rose into the air to accompany the barely audible words. Confess your faith. There was no trace of agony or fear in Christ's expression now. The lips were twisted into a mocking smile as Emma opened her mouth to scream. Confess your faith unto him who said, all souls are mine. The words were louder now, clearly audible, calm, confident, and commanding, accompanied with mocking laughter.
All souls are mine. And all souls is mine.
The laughter at the thing's own joke increased in volume, echoing around the stone walls of the small chapel and drowning the scream that tore from Emma Robertson's lips. It wasn't just the blasphemous words, nor the animated carving of a leader sent to free mankind from death and evil. It was because the words were delivered in a woman's voice, a young woman's voice that sounded painfully familiar. Stacy's voice. Emma's scream finally drowned the laughter of the abomination on the cross, blotted out everything. She was oblivious to the closing of the chapel doors behind her. She was oblivious to the slow, measured footsteps of the man who walked towards her with outstretched arms.